right. So when I was looking at this, we're 1 Peter, 4th chapter, verses 12 through 19. I was looking at this, and I was like, man, this thing could go so many ways. And then decided to do some little research. And anybody ever heard of Will Graham, Billy Graham's grandson, I think he is? Anybody? A couple people? Okay, good. Awesome. He had this great study on this exact subject, and I'm like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. So let's open the lines here. I'm going to read that. So I got to give him credit the first two times. After that is mine. Okay, cool. All right, here we go. He says, for those of us who call the United States home, we have, for the most part, lived a life of religious freedom. Would y'all agree? Okay, good. All right. We have not had to fear our health or our family as we've worshiped our Savior. This is not the case in other parts of the world. He said he's met pastors in India whose skin was scarred from an acid attack, or in Nigeria where Christians are regularly killed for their faith, and even in some parts of the Middle East, you can be murdered by your own family for professing Christ, which is insane. In some ways, even the freedom of religion in our country feels like it's slipping away. Something called cancel culture. Anybody ever heard of that? Cancel culture? Mm-hmm. Right? And it seems that it's taking an even greater precedence over the First Amendment. Now, the truth is, none of this is new. Would y'all agree? It's been around for ages. It's been around for ever since Jesus, right, walked Jerusalem. Christians were suffering for his name even back then. But what Peter's done, right, is he's given us in 1 Peter exactly how to respond to these world attacks as we go through. Okay, so we're going to dive into that. I kind of just want to set that up. Because a lot of times for us, right, would y'all agree that we're pretty privileged in our country to be able to serve whoever we want to serve? Right? And those things. So here it is. Let's go to verse 12, right? And we'll start there. It says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Point number one is expect trials, right? They are unavoidable. We're going to go through them. There's a scripture in John 16 and 33 where Jesus basically says, you're going to go through it just because of me. Right? But take cheer. He's overcome the world already, right? He's already won the battle. So a lot of times when I was reading this, I'm like, man, are there times when I'm surprised or shocked that I'm actually going through something? Especially when it feels unwarranted. Does that make sense? Right? When it's an attack on my faith, when I'm not even trying to ask you to be my faith. I'm like, as soon as I mention Jesus, somebody's like, oh, here we go. Anybody ever been at work and mentioned Jesus and then they get in an uproar? But if you mention Buddha, Muhammad, all these other places, nobody says anything. Anybody else besides me? It's crazy how much Jesus is pushed back on, right? And just because of that. So don't be surprised, because it's unavoidable. It's supposed to happen, right? Which is super cool. Verse 13, let's go to the next one. Okay, it says, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering. This is really hard to do. Would y'all agree? This takes some maturity. If we go back through all of 1 Peter, in my opinion, it's a very mature book, right? It takes a level of you actually dying to self and actually trying to do the thing that Jesus is doing. And this is what he's talking about here. How do I rejoice in suffering? It's insane, an insane thought to even think about, right? But Peter here tells us to do it, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed, right? So here's the easy part. Here's for me, this is how I make it easy, because I already know that the end. He's already told it. I already overcome. Don't worry about that. You're going to be with me, right? So it's easy for me to say, you know what, in this suffering, I'd rather take it here because life is hard. Would y'all agree? You just got to choose which hard you want. I'd rather suffer for Christ now so I can rejoice with him in later, instead of hiding from him and then trying to get in. Like, man, remember I was a good guy. I donated. I served in the church even though I really didn't know you much. I'd rather be hard now, right, and go from there. And then verse 14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. So counter of what the enemy tells us, what the world says, right? Anytime I feel I'm insulted for something, it's like, man, I should take offense to it. Anybody else take offense to insults, right? And usually, and when I hear that, I I used to build fences, and I literally see us picking up a picket and putting it in front of us. Because when we take a fence, that just means we chose to put it there, even though if it was meant that way. So when the insults come, don't take offense to it. Rejoice, right? Rejoice because you're blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. This is a really good thing, right? Really, really good thing. Point number two, it says rejoice in suffering. It's that simple. Why should we do it? Because one, his glory is revealed, and his spirit rests on your life. So simple. How many of y'all want the spirit of God to rest on your life? How much favor would come, much more favor if you're like, you know what? God, just your whole presence, everything about you, just be on me. In order to get there, we got to go through something. Would y'all agree? Right? We got to go through. We got to endure the suffering, okay? Then look, verse 15. I told you we're going to go fast. We already rolling. Right? Verse 15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler, right? A lot of times, how many of y'all ever felt like you're getting picked on before? Anybody besides me? Nobody? Okay. A couple people raised their hand, right? We ever feel like I got been picked on before a couple times, right? And how many ever felt like you got picked on when you know you did something wrong? Yeah, all of us, we got kids, we got siblings. He hit me. No, you hit him first, right? Like, it just is what it is, right? We go through that, and we've all been there, right? But what he's telling us is, you don't rejoice in that part. Don't act like that you're greater than the thing that you've caused, because sin is wrong. When I commit sin and I get in trouble for it, I'm not being attacked. I actually did the thing. There's consequences, right? Remember that Jesus and God is not a genie where you go to him with your problem that you caused and say, Lord, fix it for me. But a lot of times we look at life like that. Would you agree? I've been that guy. Like, ah, man, I screwed that up. Okay, if you just get me out of it, I promise you. Anybody else said that? God, if you just get me, man, if you just get me out of it, Lord, I show up every Sunday. I even serve on the usher board. Right? We've said those things, right? We're trying to get out of that thing. But that's not what he's talking about rejoicing in. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the suffering for Christ when you're doing the right thing and then somebody's saying something to you. Sharing your faith. And I'm sharing my faith to Mark, but Petit over there overhears it and now he's upset. It's like, hold on, man. I was talking to Mark. Why are you? You know what? I'm supposed to suffer for the name for Christ because he asked me a question. Petit heard it over in the next cubicle. I can't believe he's talking about that at work. Those are the things you're supposed to endure suffering for. Does that make sense? Something along those lines, okay? Really, really good. All right. Verse 16, it says, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. This is so good. Let him not be ashamed. Why? But let the glory of God in that name. Like, this is so good. Why? Because when we go through things, a lot of times I'm afraid to tell anybody else because they're going to judge me. Anybody else? Even in church, like, I don't necessarily want to tell my brother or my sister, like, I don't want to tell people that, man, I'm struggling right now. I'm being persecuted because it feels like such a bad thing. But that's the enemy, right? That's the enemy trying to make it seem like it's a bad thing that we're going through something, but it's a good thing, right? That you're doing it especially for Christ's sake. And point number three, real quick, it says suffering is a result of following Christ. It's a result of following Christ. It just is what it is. It's going to happen. When you're truly a follower of Christ, you're going to suffer. If you look at the disciples and all those people back then, it was not easy to say, I'm a follower of Christ. Matter of fact, to be a Christian, how many of y'all know it was a negative thing, right? It's not looked at as a positive word, right? Because as a follower of Christ, you're one of those Christians. That's how I was saying, right? So to go through that, it's not a bad thing, but suffering is a part of it, right? It's a result of it. So you guys got to know, man, I am going to go through something. And here's the truth. If you're not going through something, you got to ask yourself the next question, which is, am I really following Christ? That's the next hard question, right? That's the next evolution of, man, like, life is really good for me. I haven't had nobody said nothing to me. Nobody's questioning whether or not I really love God. And none of this stuff is happening. I guess I'm on point. Well, newsflash, the enemy doesn't mess with who he ain't worried about. So if you're not wreaking havoc in Satan's kingdom, then you're probably going to live a life that's not representative of Christ very well. Okay? Here we go. Let's keep reading. It says verse 17. It is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And it begins with us. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Right? So this part here, to me, it's phenomenal. Right? I like this part. Why? Because when we choose to obey Christ, right, in the end, eternal judgment is going to happen for everybody. Would you agree? Right? This is the hard part. This is the part where we're saying, you know what? On earth, let me do what I got to do for him so that when I am being judged now, I can be like, yep, I get to walk into heaven, right? Because even the next part talks about if the righteous are scarcely saved. That just means some people are just barely going to make it in. How many of y'all don't want to be that, right? We don't just want to barely, ooh, I skated my way in here. Yep. Ooh, yeah, they let me in. Thank you. Anybody ever? I've been to a couple parties where I'm like, oh, wow, he ain't supposed to be here. You don't want to be that guy in heaven. Does that make sense? Like, man, I'm not even sure Jesus know my name. Please, whatever you do, don't be that guy that's just like riding the coattail. You know, if I hold his shirt, maybe. Right? Because the righteous are scarcely saved. What's going to happen to the ungodly sinner? Right? And if you don't, if your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you haven't lived the life for Christ, if you aren't suffering for him now, you're probably going to suffer in eternity. So when we think about the totality of that, whether you live 120 years on this earth and then all of eternity, I'd rather live 120 years suffering so I can live all of eternity partying with Christ. Anybody else? Would y'all agree? It's a good place to be, okay? And point number four, last point. It says this, it says, glorify God through it all. This is the tough piece, right? Can I, in the middle of suffering, say, God, you get the glory? Can I say, you know what, my life, no matter how much hell the enemy brings my way, no matter what anybody else is saying, God, you're going to get the glory in it, and I will stand in it, and I will be there. I always ask myself this question, because we're so privileged in this country, if somebody said, denounce Christ or die, would I actually be able to hold on to what I believe? A lot of us would say yes. How many of y'all would say yes? Most people would say, oh, yeah, definitely. Until we're put in a position of actually having to suffer for that thing, actually being tormented, actually being acid thrown on you. I've seen it in other countries where they're like, hey, man, you denounce Christ, and they burn the man alive. And he's just like, I'm sitting through it all. How many of us would actually sit through it all? That's the question. So learn to suffer with Christ and give God the glory in all of it.